Hey, Blake's back with us post-NAM.
Hey, you guys, how you doing?
Blake's been to Vietnam. What's that all about? Have you been doing some undercover soldiery?
Yeah, back in NAM, you wouldn't believe the things I saw back in NAM.
You probably shouldn't try and do a voice, because your voice
I'm
is already
trying.
Broken.
This is what I sound like now.
Did you smoke a carton of cigarettes or something? Or?
Oh, I smoked it all, baby. It's California.
I hear that
I'm
this
not too far off of that, actually.
This year's NAM festival, or whatever it is, was rather excellent. Everyone, well, certainly my feeds have been filled with like footage of people having a great time without me. So perhaps you can comment on that.
Honestly, you know,
right, enough about NAM. Let's move on.
Okay, see you later. I've had a lukewarm stance on NAM for a long time. But yeah, this year was really excellent for us, not just for the reasons that we discussed off the air, but like it really, really was like just as we were busy the entire time, except for Sunday, because no one is busy on Sunday. But yeah, it was slamming and jamming. We were talking to people the whole time, which is why I sound the way I do. It was, Brian, I'd say it was probably, just because you've seen it with your own eyeballs, it was probably 80%, 85%.
That close.
Yeah, it was surprising how many people were there and how many people, everyone seemed genuinely excited to be there too. Like, yeah, some, you know, everybody working a booth is like, oh, this is a lot of work. But anybody I talked to after, like immediately after the show, they were like, this was a great show for us. It really, really went well. And I can honestly say it was by far our best show that we've ever had. So we had a bit of a rocky start. Our palette was almost grounded in Nashville, so we wouldn't have had a booth. Our head of sales was ill and had to end up coming late, which was great that he did because he really saved the show for us. The Freemen were hassling us in the beginning about
Freedman?
A bunch.
Dave Friedman?
Yeah, Dave Friedman.
I'm
going
to talk to him and say, be nice to Blake.
Now, the people that work, or the company that works to set up the shows and bring you your pallets and all that stuff, they were a bit difficult, let's say, right up.
So it's typical, you know, back to normal. We hate you. Now that you're back, we hate you. Why are you here?
Yeah, I know you paid like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for this setup, but you can't put that there.
Right.
Like, really? Okay.
How dare you plug your own plug-in?
Don't you do it. Don't you do it. But it was really, after that got, you know, after it all got ironed out and we got the show officially rolling, it was fantastic.
So let me ask you one question randomly. What was the release of NAM that you, like, hands down were like, yeah, this is amazing? Oh,
good call.
I didn't see anything, guys. I was at the booth the whole time.
I understand. People would always ask me the same thing. Like, what was the best thing you saw? I saw my pedals for 4 days.
Yep. I saw a big banner that said String Joy on it, and I shook a lot of dudes' hands.
And you, so I'm sure you used a lot of sanitizer.
Oh, after every meeting. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I was all over social media, you know, crying and like listening to depressing music while all my friends were having a good time. I didn't see any release that absolutely like made me go, I didn't see that coming. I mean, Friedman showed off the vintage line Plexi at the boutique stand, which, you know, obviously there was probably some OnePlus stuff there as well, if anyone got to see that. I kind of knew that was coming, but I'd never seen it, so that was cool. I think the biggest surprise was Donna coming out with the Jack White mini fly rig type pedal. What was it called? Oh, I forget the name of it, but it's like a $99 3-in-1 Jack White endorsed pedal from Donna. which I just like didn't expect.
MIDI and stuff too, as well?
Say again?
Like, are we talking modeling or are we talking...
No. It is basically like, I think it's three analog pedals, I think.
Okay. So it's kind of like what Tech 21 did 5-6 years ago.
Similar. Right? I mean, like, if you could imagine how a double pedal is two pedals, well, a triple pedal, I mean, it does the heavy lifting for you when I use the word, right? So it is really
triple or is it a quad?
No, it's a triple.
Okay.
So it's an echo, a phaser, and a distortion. So I guess the echo is likely to be like DSP because it'll be cheaper to do.
Yeah, it'll be a little 23.9 or something like that.
But a phaser and a distortion, that's potentially...
That's Vets.
Yeah, quite cheap component-wise. It kind of looks funky. It's called the third Man Hardware line or something.
That's the pedals.
Triple Threat.
The Triple Threat. There you go.
Yeah.
Any of the Third Man stuff usually comes out under Third Man Hardware. They've worked... This is their third or fourth pedal release they've done. They did a fuzz back in the day. The Bumble Buzz, I think, if I remember correctly. I might be mixing this up. My brain is still kind of trade show scrambled right now.
I can imagine.
Normal. Yeah.
Absolutely normal. He's actually on top of his game, listeners. This is the best place
to live. Stop lying to everyone. Why are you lying to everyone? but then they had the triple graph they did with Copper Sound that kind of looks like telegraph arms, but it's an octave pedal. Really, really cool. And now this one, there might have been another one in there that I'm forgetting about.
So my point with it is if I think about the sort of value end of guitar manufacturers that come out of East Asia, Muir is the brand that comes out at the top all the time. You know, they're
actually huge.
Huge, and they make stuff for all kinds of people.
Yeah, they do. Well, lots of white labeling, and you've probably played Muir pedals and didn't even know it.
Almost certainly. And I've bought a few Muir pedals, and they were great pedals. Their yellow comp
they make great stuff.
Is a great
budget compressor. I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a great company.
No, they make fantastic stuff. So, Donna, I've always looked at like the sort of rivals to Muir, but never with the same level of impact in the guitar industry. I wonder if this changes it. I wonder if now Muir and Donna are probably going to be seen as kings of the budget market. Brian's adjusting his hair. I mean, I don't know why.
Are you fixing your toupee or what?
Like, neither me or Blake.
I just noticed
care.
In the camera, I'm like, why is my hair sticking straight up? Sorry.
Bit of a something of a, about Mary well, moment, maybe? I don't know. You tell me, Brian.
ADHD thing.
You know, honestly, I don't pay too much attention to the brands coming out of there, and I was like, I don't know if Donner and Moore are the same company. Or,
I don't believe they are. I think they're separate companies.
And then there's like Nux is another big one, and I feel like they make for other people too. It's just hard for me to keep track of what's what and who's who.
I think Nux, if I remember right, I think they make components for a lot of companies as well, not just guitar pedals.
That does sound right.
So.
But
so yeah, that was the most surprising thing. What I will say is kudos to the British speaker manufacturer extraordinaire Celestion for having not only the most impressive looking stand there, booth, I guess, but also making a gigantic dick joke to Americans, and it probably sailed past everybody.
So I've got a good friend named Rick who works for Celestion. And I'll have to ask him about this. I have not seen this phallic joke.
Celestion was directly across from us, kind of kitty corner the whole time. So I wasn't paying attention. It flew.
Well, you saw the red bus?
Yes.
On the red bus, so at the front of old British Routemaster buses, which that was, you have a little black plate that would kind of scroll through the next destination. Okay. The destination they had put on that was Hampton Wick, which is rhyming slam for dick. So I'm going to say that Celestion parked a giant red dick joke at NAMM, and very few people probably even noticed that.
That's because it rhymes with it. That means it's the joke?
I mean, you wouldn't put that name otherwise. Like, if you were going to put a red bus there, why wouldn't you put Buckingham Palace or somewhere famously British? You would only put Hampton Wick because it is British rhyming slam. We use it. In fact, it gets shortened. People will say, I've got a real problem with Mahampton. I got to go and see the doctor about it. There's some seepage, you know, for example. So,
Do we need to explicit this episode?
I mean, I don't think so.
I'm wondering, like, do I need to edit all of
these? I don't
know,
because apparently there's all these jokes I don't know about.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, whenever I said something on the last week's episode, you're like, that's a really bad word. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, all I would say is,
we're like children. We're like, I didn't know.
It is a real place in England, for sure. But if you search for it, the very top thing that you get under that sort of like Google search box is, what is Hampton Wick Cockney rhyming slam for? If you look up that, you will find everything.
Right. I got, what is Hampton Court?
No, a different place.
What is Hampton Court in London? What is Hampton Court Palace worth? Is Hampton Wick safe? I think your search history is just, you know, a little...
Does Hampton Wick exist?
Well, it does exist.
Hampton Wick Wikipedia page. Why is it called Hampton
Wick? I'm telling you, take it from someone who, you know, is known to make the odd double entendre and enjoy that form of comedy.
Okay. Celestian. Okay, I had to edit my entry here. Yeah, so it is slang for the male member.
Yep. And it's not like a famous place in London. It's not like if I was going to a music show, Denmark Street. If I had a London bus, I'd write Denmark Street, because in Denmark Street are all the most famous places ever.
So I have to ask a very newbie, you know, question that is going to show how much of an absolute moron I am. It says, in Cockney slang, what is Cockney referring to? In an area?
It's sort of basically people from London. Okay, they were known as Cockneys. So
told you,
but it's like a specific. It's like, right, mate. It's that one that you tried to do.
Cockney rhyming slang is a short form language. So classic examples would be, I say short form, it's actually a longer form. But if someone said, "I'm just about to go up the old apple and pears," it means stairs. I'm going to go and wash the old boat race. That means I'm going to wash my face. So that is an example of Cockney rhyming slam. I've got a bit of an issue with the Hampton Wick. That is Cockney rhyming slang. And Celestian knew what they were doing, for sure.
Okay, so there was, I think it was a Ted Nugent song or something called Standing Hampton. I understand what that meant now.
Exactly. There you go. So...
8-year-old Brian had no idea what it meant.
I mean, that
much older
would be...
Brian does now.
Well, I'm glad to have informed you and educated you.
It'd be Sammy Hagar.
I might find out the Celestians.
It'd be Sammy Hagar.
Oh, okay, you're right. Sammy, I knew it was like a.
Oh, and I didn't know it. I was Googling, and my search history is going to be all messed up now.
I'm just going to double check where the hometown of Celestia is.
You might enjoy where it takes you, Blake. Who knows?
I'd be open to the universe's possibilities, I suppose.
Let's see. If I find out that... Celestia are based in Ipswich, which is nowhere near Hampton Wick. In fact, Ipswich is nowhere near anywhere. Ipswich is... like its own black hole.
You know the things I like? The thing I like about Ipswiches is if you put a D in front of it, it becomes a component that you can use on a breadboard.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we brought it back to
popular feature on Chase Bliss pedals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And on motherboards for computers. Just going to let you know that. Oh, anyhow,
that's a big project today, speaking of computers.
Oh,
thanks,
really?
Chris. My computer has arrived.
Oh, yeah, nice one.
I'm sure that Riverside will have a meltdown as soon as it sees I got something new and faster. It'll be like, oh, don't work with this anymore.
I'm using a new mixer myself today. Do I sound nice and clear?
I don't have any
new gear. Sound like I have delay on my voice?
Whoa.
Oh, dear. Listeners, we are in trouble. Oh,
yeah, baby.
This is not going to end well for anyone. I was about to say, I don't have any new gear like that I'm recording with, but I've been sent. I mean, I am a very lucky man because some people seem to like me. I don't know why. I do my best to make everybody hate me, apparently. But I know you don't, Bri, but that's not news to anyone. And I keep getting sent marvelous gifts. I talked about the chili sauce and the spicy salt. This week, Mr. Ben Carlin of Electric Love sent me some glow-in-the-dark stickers and some other bits and pieces, which I don't want to talk about on the show because, you know, I'm sworn to secrecy. But let's just say that I am now entitled to carry a gun in New York.
Wow, look at you go.
I'm not. But also, Bri, we both got a gift. We got the new Muse driver from Robert Keeley. Because
what?
After we spoke about it, after we spoke about it last week,
Muse. You're welcome to use that, Robert.
After we spoke about it last week, I just sort of mentioned to Robert, I said, hey, we talk about your new pedal on next week's show. And he was like, give me Brian's address, please. And I was like, sure. I'm sure he's not going to send him, you know, like a 12 dozen pizzas or something foolish like that. So no, I gave him...
It would be something flowery.
Some pepper to grind. Sure.
Some pepper to grind. Yeah.
Sure. Guy. He's so good.
No, and I did not expect him to include me on this. I thought, he's going to send Bri a pedal, but he also sent me one as well. And I got it yesterday. And I understand now why people love this pedal so much.
It looks cool and it sounds cool, you know?
Yeah. I have to say, his new form factor is pretty damn cool.
I like the simplicity of it because it looks classy and sexy.
I agree, especially when sitting next to the Noble Screamer.
Yeah,
it looks really cool together.
But also it's a practical form factor because that angle makes it kind of easy to stomp on. Makes it easy, especially if you put it at the front of your pedal board, which kind of where it is at the moment for me. But the Andy Timmons gain mod. There is something special in that, Bri. I can't wait for you to have a little play with it and go, he's rerouted the C5 capacitor through the dilithium crystals or whatever it is.
Right, there's lots of dilithium crystals in those circuits, lots of them.
Normally, how many exactly?
About 20-teen.
Oh, well, 20-teen?
20-teen.
Wow.
Yeah.
But look, thanks, Robert, for sending it. Anybody listening to this, I'm not going to clearly gush about anything other than Wampler pedals on this show because, you know, Brian sat in front of me, but it is a really great pedal and I will gush about it. Screw you, Brian.
Hey, all I'm going to say is if, you know, maybe you should take some artistic hints from Robert's direction and, you know, maybe simplify some graphics on our side. You ever think you did do that, actually. We have the Triumph and the Phenom.
Yeah. And those are shush. Brian is being very naughty because Brian knows very well which direction our design is moving and he is being very naughty. Ignore him, listeners. He is a naughty Brian. He's been naughty all day, actually.
The direction you guys are going with the...
Yes.
Oh, you're not going to beat me out, are you?
And also the deluxe and the twin and the valve state.
And the stereo.
I think we've lost Brian.
Trying to figure out what in the world you guys are talking about.
Oh, we're just made editing really hard for you because you have to put beeps in all those gaps to make it sound like we said something we're not supposed to.
Yes.
We did show off the new pedal, though, at NAMM. I'm told.
I don't think.
I wouldn't know. I didn't see anything. I just saw a giant, apparently a phallic joke. Most of the thing. That's what
a
I saw.
A giant red schoolboy humor device. I love it. The other thing that got me, though, at NAMM was the new Yamaha Pacifica Plus. Have you guys seen that?
I did. With the Neve pickups.
Right.
I didn't play it, but I saw it was released.
And Neve has pickups?
That's what I said. You and the whole industry all said, Neve does pickups?
Wait, do Neve do pickups?
I don't see a link next to the Yamaha.
No, because every now and then I like to drop something into the notes where you have to have actually been awake in the previous week to know what I'm talking about, Bri. Sharpness.
My last week of work did not involve perusing the internet much.
It's been out in the fields, probably.
Well,
it's great song, by the way.
I've been promising people this DIY overdrive course, and I have been working like a mad person trying to make it happen.
Interesting. That explains a lot. But yes, these are Rupert Neve Designs pickups. They kind of look like...
Rupert?
What?
What's his name on Family Guy? Stewie. That's my Stewie voice.
Does he say Rupert? Rupert.
Ah, yes.
Rupert.
Family Guy. The program that was good for like 3 seasons and terrible for 13 seasons.
What?
I mean, you could argue and say what you want, but if you actually do your research, Bri, if you're not just one of the sheeple that believes what Big Fox is telling you, that program
Big
sucks.
Big Fox.
It really does suck. These look really nice, these particular... So, and this will very much segue onto another point in a minute. But the Yamaha artist performance they chose was J. Leonard J. as well, who obviously does quite a lot of demos with us. So
I like him.
I was really happy to see that.
I love Jay. Jay's one of our guys too.
He's a good
and
dude.
He came by the booth and... was like, I'm playing at 3. And Scott and I were like, we're definitely going to go there. And then our whole booth exploded in a good way.
That's the way it usually happens.
My glitter bomb arrived. Excellent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it did. It sure did. But I really, Jay is, have you ever seen him with his band? Like, obviously he's great on his own. Dude.
But I mean, from what I've seen,
they're great. So good. Yeah. Like, he's incredible. I love Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, and a good dude all around.
Absolutely.
Very good dude. Love working with him.
The energy that you see on video is the energy he has all the time.
He does. He's always like that. Yeah. Always. It's incredible. He's one of my favorite people.
Yep.
And he was playing our strings at the Yamaha booth. So thanks, Jay.
Interesting.
I'm trying to find the information on Neve pickups. I want to read more about Neve pickups.
They're made out of magnets and plastic. There's probably some wire.
That's not how it works.
Oh.
It's magic. Oh.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think they wrap around some magnets.
Nope.
Oh. All right.
Just, nope. That's not true.
This is a magic. Great move, I Tell think, magic. From Yamaha, by the way. And the reason I think it's a great move is, and segueing nicely onto my next topic, sort of, if you were asked, recommend a beginner guitar to somebody, an electric guitar, what would you say? What would be your first recommendation?
What kind of Telecasters you like?
Sure. So you'd be a Squire Telecaster straight away, right?
I don't know about Squire, but maybe. I've got a Squire baritone that's great.
They make some great Telecasters in their cheaper ranges. Probably not their bottom end one, but they are pretty good. But for me, I've always recommended Yamaha Pacificas because at a sort of $300-$400 price point, they are almost unbeatable in terms of playability and flexibility.
Whoa, bless you, sir. Bless you.
Okay, I can tell I'm talking to myself here.
I missed the mute button there.
Over. But anyhow.
No, I wanted to piggyback on that, actually, because Yamaha is a company that, like, across the board... I'm dying, everyone. Across the board makes really great stuff. And what everyone's signaling me, right? Oh, I'm number one? Thanks, Richard. That's really... Wow.
I'm responding to Brian. Nice, yes, I have seen your text, Brian. No, I will not do it for free.
But I have also seen your text, Brian. Yeah, and the answer is yes, please.
But I don't have the money to pay you for that, Richard.
Then like, you're going to have to pay free. In sweat. In certain sweat volume of music.
And tears.
Again.
But no, Yamaha just like makes really good stuff across the board. Those double cuts they have are really cool. I have no doubt that these
fantastic. Motorbikes, excellent. Pianos, first class.
Keyboards, wonderful.
Four-wheelers. Hell yeah, bub.
Yep, side-by-sides, they crush it.
I mean, they do.
But the thing is, they do. They do kill it on all of those.
They are probably one of the companies that I look up to the most, actually. And their logo is very, very cool. Not that that's relevant.
Yet, it is.
But it is relevant. And I had a Yamaha drum kit before.
It was relevant.
Excellent. It is relevant. Not a hippopotamus. It's irrelevant. sorry for the dad joke. I'm not sorry for the dad joke.
You're not sorry at all.
But here, so taking on from what I was talking about beginner's guitars, I was advising a friend of mine about what to buy. And I naturally said, actually, Bri, funnily enough, I did say, get him like a Squire Telecaster because it's so simple. If he wants to play electric guitar, he'll get everything from that guitar. They ended up buying a Cort electric guitar. And I thought that was probably a genius move. And I think the person who sold him that guitar actually took the time to go, you know, you can buy a name brand guitar that's a premium name brand, or you can buy a name brand guitar that's a premium factory that manufactures for every premium name brand, but probably doesn't get as much love as other brands because they're not a cool brand. And this guitar is, for the money they paid, I looked at it, it is fantastic, guys. So there's a lot to be said for that, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Cort's one of the largest guitar manufacturers on the planet. They know a thing or two about making instruments. They make them for a lot of people, including themselves. And if you recall, bringing it back to pedals a little bit, they now own Digitech/DoD. So you know, they're in it to win it.
So Yamaha Junior, as I like to call them. They're not Yamaha. They don't make great mountain bikes. Oh, maybe Yamaha don't. Maybe they do. I don't know. So other things from NAMM, though, and I wanted to talk about this last week. Did you see the on-stage workstation, Bri? Scroll down to about halfway through the notes and click on the link, because the minute you do, you're going to be buying it.
Oh, you know, I saw that, but I didn't realize that OnStage was the one that made that. Interesting.
That's a quality item. So for the listeners...
I saw that the other day, actually.
It's a little wooden workstation that houses kind of a compact amp. It's got some space on top to put some gubbins. And then you've got a little pedal board that slides out, all in a very nicely crafted wooden sort of frame. I'm a fan of that. I actually, if I had the space, I'd get one straight away, but I've got too many amps.
There used to be a company, I don't remember if it was OnStage or might have been a company like that, but they used to make this amp stand. And the amp is basically like a 45-degree angle
thing. This is the one at Nashville. We talked about it, right? They've got some still at Nashville. Or maybe I did it on another podcast.
The back was open and it would shoot the sound to the front.
But they don't make them anymore, right?
I guess they weren't popular, maybe. But I also, it was a great idea.
I love things like that. I want this on-stage workstation, I'd just like to say.
What do they call it? The GWS-5000 guitar workstation.
Obviously, not made by Gibson.
It's got a deluxe reverb in there for the audience listening. It kind of holds about a deluxe reverb.
Yeah, right.
So, I don't think. But that's about the size we're talking about here.
I think my Rivera would fit in perfectly. You know, a good 1x12 with, you know, maybe an 18-inch width. But I guess they come in different widths.
So question for you, though, because it has like a little drawer that has the pedal board that slides out.
Right.
So if you step on that, is that going to touch the ground or is it going to be hovering over the ground? And if so, is it going to break the rail slides off, et cetera?
Well, one would like to think
it touches the ground.
That before they released this, they at least thought about that for more than 20 seconds, Bri. But I would say this too. Wouldn't that just be great for putting your in the effects loop pedals in and just like shoving them away.
Good idea. Yeah, good idea. That's have the pedal board up front, have the other stuff back there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. And then I would use the top to keep my collection of shrunken heads. Oh, wait, no, different podcast.
Guitar World wants to show me notifications. Block. No way in the world do I want you to send me notifications. Don't even
ask. Boy, that reminds me about something. It wasn't Guitar World, and I'm not going to say which publication it was, but you guys are going to love this. You're going to absolutely love it. We had a publication visit us and mention, hey, yeah, we've seen more people talking about your stuff and more people are mentioning it in our content. And I said, why, yes, that is very awesome. Thank you. And we've made sure to share some of that content around so that people will go watch the full publication of your thing. And that person looked at me dead in the eye and said, you cannot share that. That is copywritten material.
Angler's World? Did they get the string?
It was Angler's World. Yeah, they were very upset that I was showing, you know,
fishing strings, their
fishing line stuff. And they said, you cannot share the clip where that person is discussing your thing, even if you reference it back to us and ensure that everyone knows that that's where it came from.
Is the clip on the internet?
You have.
Are they sharing it via like a laser disc that they hand round at a secret party where you need a code word?
Is this on cassette tape?
It's on the internet, and they would like, in theory, they would like more people to go see this thing.
Let me tell them.
It's going to be hard to do that without sharing.
Yes.
And let me tell you something about how the internet works. They don't care for your rules. The reality is there is a massive uptick in piracy and streaming now. And you know why? It's because everyone's gone, hey, I'm going to create a channel where you have to pay me $7 a month so you can watch Star Wars, or $7 a month so you can watch South Park. And there are so many of these now, it almost feels as if we need like one unifying system to watch them all under.
You know what we need is, let's call that quote unquote cable.
Cable.
Where you just have everything at one place.
Yeah, right?
So cable.
But because they're not going to do that, because let's face it, Bri, I think we both know the world is literally run by very greedy people, that, you know, piracy has taken off big time and people are streaming stuff like,
you know, I think
mad
I heard
now.
Lars Ulrich say something about this the other day.
Talking about MP3s and those damn kids.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sounding
familiar.
How the internet
works.
He had
some truth to it. Like, it did destroy the music world.
He wasn't entirely wrong. But.
Or at least the profitability, I suppose, of being an artist.
It really has, though, hasn't it? Let's face it. Everything is either Taylor Swift or Ed Sheeran or doesn't get heard about.
Oh, speaking of Taylor, have you seen the fakes that are going around?
Oh, yeah, the A. I'm not going to say the letters because we're banned from using those words, Bri, because you get ideas every time. But yeah,
the absolute intellect side of things.
That's just going to get worse and worse, by the way. And as these algorithms get better and better. So by the way, I didn't get my golden Big Muff. I'm really, really upset by this. I got an email.
I will fix this for you. Send me a Big Muff. I have a can of spray paint. I will fix it for you.
It better be Rust-Oleum.
It is Rust-Oleum, yes.
Okay, good.
With a little bit of sparkly flake in it.
I mean, I'm glad you can take pleasure in this, Bri, because I think I am now entitled to rant at Mike Matthews, every member of Electro Harmonix, their friends' tennis partners, their friends' tennis partners' wives, because let's face it, I deserve the pedal because I am me and I'm special.
I've seen this play out in real time before. It's this being a limited edition, everything. I think what you need to do is, first of all, email Mike directly and tell him you'll never buy anything he puts out again.
Ever.
You're going to sell all of his stuff and then go on every group that you can find and say the same.
Okay, right.
Because
I'm just
going to
start that now.
You are the only one that exists.
Let me just log into Facebook. Hold on a minute. Brian@oneplus.com. Yeah, right. Logged in. Yeah. Brian Wampler says, Yeah. So yeah, no, I didn't get my golden big.
That's
I entered to win one at the HX booth. Fingers crossed.
Is there any different with the circuitry, or is it just like you like the gold?
It's a ram's head.
Yeah, it's a ram's head.
Dude, you got the chops to build one better. Make it better.
Are you saying that the
British
king?
Silent citizen, for we have not yet announced correctly.
The British King of Fuzz will now be assembling ram's head style sustaining distortions. He demands that all citizens ship one gold enclosure to the outside of the moat.
Actual gold, please. Actual gold. I need the money. I've got roof repairs.
That was easier than actually just talking with my normal voice. Should I just do that the whole time?
Just do that.
I do like Yamaha Pacificas.
You sound like Bane from Batman. That's not how royal people sound.
Through a horn they do.
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, Bri, I really need a big muff. But that does bring me on to something. A number of people have said to me that if, you know, a British King of Fuzz pedal were to be released, they'd buy it. So I know we've discussed some custom shop things. I reckon I could breadboard you a pedal. I think we need to release the British King of Fuzz.
I agree. Chasing Tone exclusive.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, I think
I've actually been thinking about this Big Muff thing. Op amp or transistor based?
Well, see, I think it's transistor.
I guess I'm saying
which do you like better?
Oh, well, I like both of them.
Yeah, I need to find
one out. Which if you could only pick one, which way are you going?
The op amp. I like the mids a little better on the op amp.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I like it.
So if what transistors does the transistor one use, Bri?
Do you want the honest answer?
Yeah.
Whatever was available at the time.
Whatever they could sweep up off the floor of the factory.
Yep. I'm loving it more and more.
And the interesting thing is, let's go into nerd territory a little bit because there's some interesting things.
Nerd alert.
You shunt feedback.
You can't do that in public.
Like you do with those type of gain stages and big muffs, this is going to piss people off. You actually take away the character of that transistor a bit because you're stabilizing it. And as long as you're fairly lowish somewhat, as far as the gains of that transistor, it doesn't make that big of a difference. Hence, allowing one to use multiple types of transistors without that much change.
Interesting.
That's not my understanding, Brian. See, I talked to Mac Matthews back in 1974, and he told me that it was not at all how it works. In fact, he used the finest unicorn hair to assemble the components of...
Oh, speaking of dispelling myths, I just did that Tube Screamer video on YouTube, showing a bunch of different Tube Screamers, and not telling anyone which was which until like 3 days after. The Joyo came out on top a lot of the time. People were like, number one, that's definitely the TS-808.
Wow.
I can tell. Tell me what.
What came number two?
I haven't compiled it.
What kind of data scientist are you today, Bri?
I mean, there's like 500 comments there. I mean, I could. You know what? I'm just going to
Have you heard of the program Excel by Microsoft? It's been around for about 30 years.
Someone has to compile that, though. But now there's this new feature that I can use from this one website.
No.
It's called...
No. Do not say
ChatGPT.
No.
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. I need to rattle through something very quickly. I'm just going to say something very, very quick to the main show because I know one of my friends listens to it. I went to my hometown of Amersham in Buckinghamshire this weekend to visit a friend and another friend who I bought a load of comics from. And they're comics that I first borrowed off him. It's actually a hardback comic anthology. And I borrowed them off him when I was 16. And he's kind of downsizing and he's like, do you want to buy them? I'm like, yes, I want to buy them. And when I pick them up, instant wave of nostalgia. But his, his name is Dino. And he has just the most fantastic bootleg record collection ever. He's the one who got me the Eclipse Live at the Rainbow and the Live at Wembley Pink Floyd bootlegs and gave me the White Room, the White Album, but recorded in George Harrison's Conservatory bootleg, which was amazing. And he's just sent me this Grateful Dead mixed with Dark Star bootleg. And what he does is he takes all these old kind of tapes or whatever format he's got them on, sticks them in Pro Tools, and my mate Dave, who is, as I've said before, one of the greatest audio engineers and players of guitar I know, helps him sort of tweak the compression, tweak the levels, tweak everything, and he comes out with some really great sounding bootlegs. And that is more interesting to me now than any new record that is coming out. And what does that tell you? It tells you two things. One, Dino is awesome and Dave knows what he's doing. And two, I am officially an old fuddy-duddy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Wait, that's my main takeaway.
You were questioning that, though. Why would you question that?
Well, I'd take some acid.
The fuddy-duddy part, mostly.
He was, Dino was the first person in the area I lived in and was in the paper for this for having hair longer than Mick Jagger in the 1960s. He famously went to the Roundhouse to see the Doors and Jefferson Airplane when they toured in 1968. And will continually tell me I hated the Doors, but I went for Jefferson Airplane and I had to endure.
Oh, I like this guy already. Yeah. All right.
I thought you would. He's seen every great band. He's one of the country's greatest collectors of Bob Dylan music. He's actually my friend's dad, my friend Ben's dad. So he's a lot older than me, but he's a very cool dude. And it was just really nice to go to my hometown, kind of chill and listen to some bootlegs of some music that was made before I was born, boys.
Absolutely.
Never underestimate the healing power of a good friend. You know, I know a lot of people that listen to this have gone through some tough times and are going through tough times now. And I've had a pretty rotten few weeks myself, I'm not going to lie. But friends will always get you through. So if you've got a good friend, go and see them. That's my advice. Unless it's Brian, don't go and see him. If you do, you won't be able to tell us about it.
I mean,
is that your chair, Brian? What is that?
What are you hearing? What are you talking about?
Are you breaking wind slowly?
What are you talking about? There's nothing going on. Do you hear something? It's a new mix or something. I'm like literally wondering.
I think the FBI are tapping our podcast, Brian.
Hold on. I wonder if my phone is next to my.
Oh yeah, that'll do it. Audio professional.
That's exactly
Brian
what it sounded like.
Was it okay?
Sorry. Yeah. Put my phone on this hot preamp.
Do not put your phone on top of your mixer. Bad idea.
Which reminds me, I saw a great blog article today over Pedal Snake about power supplies, which kind of went on from the blog I wrote the other day about, you know, all the other bits you need for your pedal board. But they had some really good tips, which I enjoyed. But before we get onto the Patreon, Victory have gone high end. Did you guys hear that? They're releasing a
Dumble
clone.
This is one of the things I actually did see, because I made a point to go to the Rev booth because they had some stuff I want to check. I'm just in amp mode right now, mentally, I guess. I did see these. It's very, very exciting. So a lot of people kind of forget Victory's original name was not Victory. It was Cornford.
That's right.
And Martin Kidd is the guy like behind it. I know, like, I think a lot of the, you know, more internet-y people have kind of become the face of that company, and people forget that Martin is actually still...
He's the great brilliant, right?
Yeah. He's very brilliant.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, Cornford amps have one of the greatest reputations, right? Especially amongst, like, gigging pros. They love their Cornfords.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the... Well, I didn't get to play the clean one. Man, I don't know. These things are pretty incredible.
So if you're listening to this show, Lee Anderton of Anderton's Music Company, who has an interest in Victory amps, according to a video I once saw on the internet, we really like you, Lee, and we love those amps. Just gonna say that right now.
I'm I still want a Kraken really bad, though, even though that's not what we're talking
about. You still
about,
want some right? crack? I mean, hold on a minute. Oh, just, well,
yeah, I mean, there's places just, to score that around here.
Speaking of that, I have a really funny story for Patreon.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Let's save that for Patreon, but we need to give a shout out to our executive producers before we do that. You know what I'm saying?
I do. I'm not in the shape to do it today, boys. I'm sorry.
No, I would never ask that of you in your shape. You know?
I can't do accent, so asking me is just asking for pay.
A little under the weather right now, but that's fine.
I am definitely, I'm feeling okay.
No, I got you. So,
yeah,
man, this big, huge shout out to our executive producers, who we appreciate very, very much, because they allow us to do a whole nother episode, which you can get to if you happen to be on a Patreon. But first of all, big thanks to Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trumbetti, Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournaise, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young of the Man the Helm podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Gibarito, Nick Spano, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, The Elusive Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bowman or Bauman, I always forget, Christopher Logan, Jason Englehart, DeCroahawk? DeCroahawk.
DeCroahawk.
There we go.
Come on.
And
DeCroahawk. DeCroahawk?
DeCroahawk right there, I'll tell you what. And Dylan Lewis. Thanks a lot, and I'll work on my enunciations. Talk to you next week.
No, bye. You're not.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.